Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
I want to talk to you about help. You know, the important thing is when we need help, it has to get through to us. It has to arrive. I found a fascinating story. It comes out of World War II. Britain was losing a lot of their pilots who had to bail out over Europe and they were captured and wound up in POW camps. But they wanted to see as many of these prisoners escape and make their way back to England to live to fight another day. Well, they wanted to get equipment to them so that they could aid in their escape attempts. But how do you do that? Well, they came up with an ingenious plan to hide some items in Monopoly games because they would be delivered via charities and such as that to these prisoner war camps. The Germans thought it was a great idea to have the soldiers, the POWs, having games to entertain themselves. If they kept their minds occupied, the theory was that they would not have to spend all their time thinking about escape. But hidden in these Monopoly sets were silk maps in the board, and they could kind of cut into the board, and there it was. They pull out these silk maps to direct them to friendly areas. There also was a saw, there was a file, there was a 1-inch diameter compass hidden in there, and it all looked very, very innocent. And interestingly, even hidden among the Monopoly money was a few legitimate bits of money from the country they happened to be in, so they could use that for their escape. Well, there was a way, and they found a way to deliver help. And the great news is, when we need help, God has many ways to do so, angels being one of them. The fact is, when we need help, we need to say emphatically, can God help us? Yes, He can. And maybe we could say that slightly differently, because we're thinking about angels in this series. Yes, they can. Because we're going to look today at three amazing stories found in the Scriptures where God used angels to deliver help to His people. And I just want to remind you, and I want to remind me, that God is able to deliver help to His people even today. He can do it with angels. He can do it through direct intervention. He can do it however He wants. But at least have your mind renewed and your heart encouraged to know that God can deliver help. When it comes to help, yes, He can, and yes, they can. Let me first of all direct your attention to 1 Kings chapter 19. And in this story, we have an amazing story. You basically have to really read a couple chapters before. It comes right after Elijah had this great contest with the prophets of Baal. And he was outnumbered 400-1. God answers with miraculous fire from heaven. You could read that story in chapter 18. Chapter 19, Jezebel, the queen, the wicked queen of that era, threatens and says she's going to kill Elijah, that he's got a bounty on his head. He's a marked man. Elijah, in his fear, runs and flees. You can think of all the things he thinks about. He probably feels alone. After his running, he's exhausted. He's tired. He really needs help. And he reaches a point of despair. And you'll see this in the text here in 1 Kings 19, where it says in verse 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's.'" He'd reached the point of despair that he thought his ministry was over. He thought his efforts to serve God were over. He thought his life was over. And he just says, "Lord, here I am. I'm done. I'm spent. I'm exhausted. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I simply want you to take my life. I'm ready to go home." Well, how does God send help? Because God was not finished with that prophet. And I assure you, if you still have breath going in and out of your lungs, God's not finished with you either. He still has something for us to do. When He's done with us, it's no problem for God to get us out of this life, okay? But God was not done with Elijah. And He does something very amazing. And I want to call your attention back to verse 5. Listen to how God delivers this help, all right? And He says this, "And as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel of the Lord touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.'" And it says this, "Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again." The first thing we see, and I want to encourage you with this, is the God who can, either through angels, when we may say it, they can, but however God delivers the help, he can get it through, and he wants to meet our physical needs. We're told in Scripture that God remembers our frame. He remembers what we're made of. He remembers that we were constructed of the dust of the earth. He knows that we're weak and we're fragile. He knows we have a need to sleep. You see that right here in this context. We have a need for nutrition. We have a need for food. You see that right here in the story. So what does God do? God doesn't show up, first of all, and say, Elijah, let me give you a lecture. He doesn't show up and say, Elijah, let's just correct your thinking. I need to give you some counsel or some rebuke. The first thing God does is he tasks an angel to show up, to step out of the spiritual realm into the physical realm. And he does what? He bakes some cakes on coals, has some water. He pokes Elijah and says, you need to arise and eat. You need to rest. He's allowed him to rest. He's going to allow him to rest a second time, as you'll see in this text. But he says, here's some food. Here's some water. I want to meet your physical needs. First thing you need to remember is God knows that you have physical needs. Sometimes we feel like we're spent. We're exhausted. We just physically can't go anymore. Maybe you've had this experience. Many of us could testify of this experience. There's moments in my life where I've experienced this, and how God does it, I can't say, but I know his hand has been in the mix. But when there's moments when you just feel like I can't go on, I'm out of energy. I'm just physically drained. And sometimes it's happened to me when it's time to preach, to teach God's word, and I look into the faces of people that are waiting to hear a message from God above, and as I look out there at it, I say, I can't do this. I do not have the ability, I do not have the strength, and God somehow in those moments gives strength beyond what I naturally have. Maybe you've had those moments. Maybe you're caring for someone in your life. Maybe you're missing sleep because of that young child that needs your attention. Maybe it's some ministry endeavor. Maybe it's that business you're trying to get off the ground, and you're trying to do this for the glory of God. You're trying to meet the needs of your family. You're trying to do this in a godly way, and it just seems like it's just not getting traction. Lord, I need your help. God can step in and give you strength physically. He can give you what you need. He can deliver whatever you need. In this case, it was food and water and rest. God can get it through. So maybe you've had that experience, but be aware of this. It's simply this. When you need physical help, God can. We need physical help. If he uses angels, they can. As I said, we sometimes don't see the angels work, and sometimes we don't know how God works. But these stories are sent to not only tell us that angels are around and angels are able. It's not around just to tell us exactly how God works, but it's to remind us that he is able and he is willing to work. He sees our needs. He is willing to move in. You might do a little inventory of what your physical needs are right now. You think, well, what are the basic things we need? We need shelter. We need water. We need nutrition. We need food. We need rest. We sometimes need healing for our bodies. We need his intervention. Many of us have experienced that in our physical needs. It's been a healing. God's allowed us to recover. He's made these bodies with an amazing ability to heal and recover. He's also given technology and medicine and medical professionals who give adequate help when we need help. But sometimes God just moves in and he restores our health because he's not done with us yet. So God knows, God cares, and God is able to deliver help to you. I want you to look on this story. It's interesting what happens. And God's preparing Elijah for what's next. It says to him, arise and eat. And he looked, verse 5, and there was by his head a cake baked on coals. I wonder what that tasted like. We're going to see it was highly nutritious in just a moment, but it sounds good. We're having a little camp out. An angelic camp out is going, a campfire is going on here. And it says, verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time. Remember, he lay down again to sleep and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Not only was this physical help that Elijah is getting to aid him for the energy reserves and the physical reserves that had already been depleted to this point, but also to give him energy for what's coming next. God's able to help you for whatever is next. Sometimes we worry about the what's next. That's going to be too big. That's too scary. That's too difficult. And in our world as believers, we look around and say, this world looks so dark. It looks so shaky. There's a verse that's found in Psalm 74. I ran into it, and Julie and I ran into it in our devotions this week. But it says, when the earth and its people quake, God sustains, or God holds the pillars of the world. God's holding it together. People, shaky. The world, shaky. Politics, shaky. Government, shaky. Life, shaky. But God's holding it all together. And he can get help to you when you need physical help. And I want you to see what else happens, okay? Something amazing happened. Verse 8, 1 Kings 19. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. We also know that as Mount Sinai. So he traveled 40 days existing and thriving on this one meal delivered by an angel. That's supernatural because this angel was stepping in. And there was something about this meal that was not ordinary. I mean, you can last maybe 20, 21, maybe 30 days without food. You can only last just a mere handful of days without water. But he was able to be sustained in this journey out down south into the wilderness, into the Sinai Peninsula, to go back to the mountain where God had met Moses all those years ago. And God meets with him. You can read the rest of the story. It goes all the way down. Or he has a conversation with God and so forth. And he hides in a cave and he talks to God and basically says, God, I'm the only one you got left. You're in big trouble. And God assures him, no, there's several thousand that are loyal to me that haven't bowed to the altar and the idol of Baal. And then God gives him a new mission. And he sends him on his way. But God appeared to him in a special way. He comes and has this great scene of the glory of God passing by him on the mountain. And then God speaks in this very tiny, small, still voice to remind him that he's there. Sometimes the physical strength is just to get us to a place that we recognize God is there. And sometimes our physical depletion is the setup so God can show his strength to us. You got some physical needs? God is able to get you help. But what do? Well, we need to pass that on. Sometimes God doesn't use a powerful angel like this that can provide a meal that'll last you for 40 days. But sometimes just God wants us to prepare a meal that maybe lasts a day. There's someone that's hungry. Many of you do things with food and your neighbors. We have some folks near us that we just really are having a hard time connecting with. And we wanted to be an influence. We wanted to be friendly. We wanted to be a Christian neighbors to them. And Julie fixed a nice dessert one day and took it over, knocked on the door, said, hey, I just baked this for you. It's amazing how the ice melted. And these folks have been just open and friendly to us. And that's happened many, many times over the years. Most of our neighbors have gotten goodies delivered from my wife's kitchen over the years. But it's just a way to say, here I am. I can help you. Someone's in grief. We bring food. We have a food ministry for people that are grieving and that sort of thing. So we do all those things. But sometimes we can provide just rest for people. Hey, could I step in and help you? Hey, I know things are really tough. You're caring for those aging parents. Could I mow your lawn for the next couple of weeks just to relieve you of that responsibility? Could I do something to drive them to the next doctor's appointment so you could be relieved of that? Could I come watch your kids so you could just get out and interact with some adults for a while to that young mother to provide that rest and that relief? Maybe I can come over and entertain the kids so you can just get a nap. How good does that sound? But we can receive strength from the Lord. Angels prove it. Angel story proves it. And God wants us to pass that on. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Acts. And near the end of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 27, we have the story of Paul. And we're going to see another aspect of God delivering this aid. Paul is on his journey on a ship, journeying to Rome. And they run into this big storm. Paul tried to warn them not to get in the midst of this. But they think they're going to die. The storm is lashing at the ship. It is really, really dangerous. And in the midst of all this, Paul makes an amazing statement. This is Acts 27, and I want you to cast your eyes on verse 23. Let me read verse 23. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. And there stood before me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Verse 24, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and in God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Here the angel doesn't deliver a campfire meal. He delivers a message of encouragement. And notice what the angel said in verse 24, saying, first of all, he says, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. So God sends this message to minister to him emotionally. You see, he can meet your physical needs. He can also meet your emotional needs. And here an angel just sent to reassure him. And he believes this message from God. He tells all the others. And basically, if you read the rest of the story, it's just as Paul predicted, just as the angel said. All the people in the ship, they lost the ship. But all those that were on board, including prisoners like Paul, all of them were spared. There was no loss of life. Sometimes in our scary moments, we need to have some emotional support. Sometimes in our stressful situation, we need emotional support. And here God just sends, and there's no other believers on this ship, okay? There's no Christians to turn to. There's no Silas, there's no Timothy, there's no all these people that he worked with. It's just he by himself, Roman soldiers and prisoners on their way to Rome. He probably feels all alone. And you can think about it, in a storm, it says they hadn't seen the sun or the moon for many days, and the storms are blowing, everybody thinks they're going to die. All this gloom and doom, in the midst of it, God delivers an angel. So just stood by him. I just kind of picture Paul there, like, where did you come from? And the angel says, do not be afraid, and gives him this message. To shore him up emotionally. To remind us, God's aware, he knows exactly where you all are, Paul. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly what he intends for you to do for his glory. And the fact is, he knows the same for us. He knows. Now, sometimes our emotions are touched by people. Sometimes it's through the Word of God. And I think that's our primary source of encouragement, that we go before the Lord and see what he says and encourages us, that he can bind up our broken heart, that he can assure us of his promises. But Paul didn't happen to have a pocket New Testament stuck in his clothing. In fact, the New Testament wasn't even complete at this point. He didn't have a Torah scroll, the first five books of the Old Testament, with him. He had scriptures memorized, obviously, but he didn't have this great resource that you and I have to encourage us. So God simply sends an angel and says this: do not be afraid. Everything's going to be fine. Relax. Shore us up emotionally. Sometimes we believers tend to overlook emotional needs, and we need to be careful about that, because, you know, we say, well, just trust God, just believe, it's all fact and all, it's all faith, all true, got that. But we are emotional beings. There's sometimes that we are afraid. There's sometimes that we are hurting, and we do react to these emotions that are within us. The more we understand our emotions and our reactions and can bring them into alignment, have our emotions healed, the more healthy we are in life. So God knows we have emotions, and he tells this angel, hey, got an assignment for you. Get down there, land on that ship, and I want you to find the one named Paul, and I want you to stand by him until he can see you, and then tell him, do not be afraid. God's got this. God's all over this. Now, I have never personally had the experience of knowing an angel was beside me and encouraging me, but I suspect, and if you'll allow me this little flight of imagination based on faith, I'm sure there's been times when there has been angels standing beside me, giving me encouragement and support that I maybe don't even detect. I know that God has his myriad of angels out in this great creation. They're in a spiritual realm, so we don't always see them. We seldom see them, but they are there. We talked last week about the ranks and the thrones and the principalities and dominions. We talked about the cherubim and the seraphim and the archangel and this great creation that God has made of these angelic beings. But sometimes I just stop and picture, what if there's an angel right here, right now? What if there's multiple angels here right now, protecting and guiding and giving emotional support? So he was encouraged. And notice what Paul does with that encouragement. He takes what God had said to him, and he encourages those that are around him. He tells all of them. He says, therefore, take heart, verse 25, men. I believe God will be just as was told. So he told them what it was going to be, and he passes on that encouragement. You see, the encouragement of God meeting our emotional needs by whatever means necessary, because can he meet our emotional needs? Yes, he can. Can angels be part of that? If he wills, yes, they can. You see it in the text. This is the proof of it. But God can deliver the help we need to our emotional needs when we're afraid, when we're worried, when we have anxiety, when we need encouragement. And when we receive that from God, here's our responsibility: to pass it on. Here's two things you can do to pass it on. Offer words of encouragement to somebody who needs to be encouraged. And friend, you don't have to look far. You will not have to look far to find someone who's being overwhelmed by all the discouragement that's around in this world. There's plenty to get you down. There's plenty that can discourage us, but you be the encouraging word. Maybe you can take these verses and share these with someone else. Maybe you can point someone else, even after the fact, to, hey, listen to this message about God meeting emotional needs and God meeting physical needs and so forth. This will be an encouragement through the Word. You can point them to this message. You can point them to these passages and other promises that you have. You can even take them back to Psalm 74, where it talks about God is holding the pillars of the earth, even though the people in the earth quakes and shakes. God has his hands all over it. So through our words, there's someone that you can reach out to. You can pull that phone out of your pocket. You can dial someone out of your contacts and just say, hey, I'm just calling to encourage you today. You can send that note. You can send that text, email, letter. You can send it. You can go see someone and encourage them. And recently had the opportunity to visit with someone in a medical facility as part of our church family. And you know, God allowed me to walk in the door, and the person I met said, "Pastor, you arrived at the exact right moment." It wasn't because I was smart that it happened. God just arranged the circumstances. So from this person's point of view, I arrived at the moment to encourage them. And we talked about Scripture together. We prayed together. And hopefully that encouragement will continue. So through your words, you can also encourage through your companionship. What do we mean by that? Just be there for people. Just be there. Just show up. Just talk. Call and talk to them. Let them talk to you. Let them share their heart and their situation with you. Be a good listener. Have empathy to try to feel what they feel. Have sympathy to just understand the burden that they're bearing. We live in a world where we are electronically connected to everybody, but we've never been more alone than we are right now, it seems. It seems like we're more isolated than ever. For real human connection, let someone see your heart. Let someone just see your care by being there for them. So pass it on through your encouraging words and through your companionship of being with them. Now, there's one last place I want you to go to. It's found in Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, we have a story of God meeting spiritual needs. Got that trio now? Can he get us help when we need it? An angel showed up to meet Elijah's physical needs. An angel showed up to meet Paul's emotional needs. And now you're going to see an angel show up to meet this man named Cornelius, his spiritual needs. And it's a fascinating story, and we're going to just have to condense it. I would encourage you to read this entire story here in Acts chapter 10. But I'll begin in verse 1 where you see these words. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. So he was a Roman soldier, officer. A devout man and one who feared God and all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. The problem was he was praying, he was seeking God, but he hadn't been introduced personally to the God of the universe through a personal relationship through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's going to meet his spiritual need is to know about Jesus. His spiritual need is to put his faith in Jesus. By the way, that is the universal spiritual need of all humanity. And that's why we're all about the gospel. That's why we share it. That's why we seek to present it. That's why we invite people to come and embrace it. And you could be an integral part of the delivery of the gospel in people's lives. It says in verse 3, "And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said to him, 'Your prayer and your alms have come up for a memorial before God.'" So he needed to meet Jesus. An angel shows up and says, "God has heard your prayers." Here again, the angel as the messenger, the angel as the go-between, the angel delivering the spiritual help, or at least being a part of delivering the spiritual help. Now, it's interesting. The angel does not proclaim the gospel to Cornelius. He doesn't say, "Let me tell you about Jesus. He crucified, buried, rose again the third day. All who believe in him have their sins forgiven." No, that's left to someone who's personally experienced salvation. Angels understand this, at least from observing and hearing the word of God. But we're told also in Scripture that the angels desire to look into these things of salvation. But it's still a mystery to them because they can't personally experience it. It seems very clear in Scripture that angels are not those who can be redeemed. We humans who were tempted by the fallen angel Lucifer, Satan, and fell into sin, we can be redeemed. But the angels, it seems like once there's a rebellion, it's a permanent condition. Those who remain true to God remain true to God going forward. So you understand that he has to reserve this for people who've experienced it. By the way, you and I have a great responsibility and a great joy because we can share what we've experienced in Christ. Now, let's look on and see this message delivered. Pick it up in verse 5. Notice the specific detailed instructions he gives. I find this fascinating. "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel had spoken to him, he departed. Now, let me give you his address, okay? Let me tell you who you're looking for. Let me tell you who he's staying with. Let me give you his address. It's spelled out in utter detail. I just love that, how God just makes it exact. This angel knows all about it. He delivers the message. As soon as he's finished with the message, he's gone because he's pointing him to the source of his emotional, his spiritual needs that are before him. So Cornelius does that. Peter also gets a message, not through an angel, but through a vision. Remember the sheep with the unclean animals coming down? You can read that beginning of verse 9 and following. And beginning of verse 17, Peter makes this trip to Caesarea. It goes against his grain because he was a devout Jew. But he goes into the home of this Gentile. He goes in, he preaches Jesus, the Spirit of God comes upon them. And this is the first inroads into the Gentile world of the gospel, that they are also part of God's family. Those of us who are non-Jewish, those of us who are believers in Christ as Gentiles, what a wonderful truth that God incorporates all of us into his family. So God is able to use angels or other means to be part of this process of pointing people to where we can have our needs met spiritually. There's two variants of this idea I want to pass on to you of how we can pass this on. First of all, people who don't know Christ, it's real simple. We share the gospel. We share this truth. And let me just share it with those that are watching. Perhaps you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, and you say, I don't know what that means. You Christians talk about it all the time. Well, let me say this. If even this description, this presentation, still leaves you lacking, contact us via this website or this social media platform that you're watching on. And we would love to have whatever kind of conversation that you feel safe. We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to try to manipulate you. We just want to share the truth with you and invite you to Christ. But it's simply this. We are sinners separated by God because of our behavior, our poor behavior, our sinful behavior, our morally deficient behavior. God, who is holy, can't be hanging around that which is unholy, because that would detract from his holiness. So he's got to do something to change us, to bring us into fellowship with himself. What did he do? Well, he paid the price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What pays for sin is death. And rather than us dying eternally and forever because of that, Jesus died in our place. God laid on him our sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He paid the price. How do we know that was true? How do we know that really was completed? Because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave and he is still alive and will always be alive forevermore. The resurrection proves his claims to be true. He is the one and only Savior God has given. Now, all that we have to do, we don't have to work toward it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to do anything. We simply believe. We simply say, Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that that is sufficient for me. I put my trust not in myself or anything else, but only fully, finally in Jesus. If we will do that, and if you've done that, you are one of his children. He'll forgive you your sins. He wants to start you on a glorious adventure in this life and an amazing eternity with God forever. If we could help you make that decision or help you understand what that means, let us know. There's nothing more important we could do. But also, spiritual is not just the gospel to get people who are not believers to come to Christ so they could be saved, but also that we can tell others about how they can grow, the gospel and growth, how they can grow. We need to encourage each other to grow spiritually. We need to share our story of growth. And we don't have a story of perfection. We have a story, hopefully, of progress. But this is how we can get busy. This is how we can serve. We talked about last week about having a spirit of a servanthood. We talked the week before in our first session, we talked about how we're part of this great big team. And here's some specific ways we can do this. We can meet people's needs physically. We can feed them. We can be there for them. We can give them rest and relief. We can be there for people emotionally. We can give them encouragement. We can give them companionship. We can be there for them spiritually. If they don't know Christ, we give them the gospel. If they do know the Lord, we give them all that we can do to grow. We share our life with them. And the best way to do that, coming to worship is part of that, but being in a group where you can learn and you can thrive. And even through this pandemic season that we have been in, we can still be continuing to grow and thrive. And even if we get back to a little more of a normal structure here in the next few days, we anticipate inviting others to be part of a group. This is a large group setting, even virtually or in person. But, you know, we can be together with a smaller group of people and just share our struggles, pray for each other, care for each other, be a Christian community and experience that in its depths. And many of our folks are experiencing it. But if you need to get connected to a group, I want to encourage you just to visit our church website and go to the section where it says Next Steps. You can see all the life groups that we have. You can make an easy step to get to know them. You can find out who the leader is. You can contact them. We'll contact you, whatever it takes. And we're trying to create more and more opportunities for groups going forward, even as we look into the near future. And we just want to encourage you to be part of a group that you can encourage others and you can receive mutual encouragement back. So what have we learned? It's real simple. When we need help, Yes, God can deliver it. Sometimes in these three stories, it's angels. Angels delight to be able to deliver help to God's people. That's part of their purpose. And I think these three angels, it might have been in some case, maybe one angel working twice, we don't know. Or maybe there was a team of angels behind the scene and these were the only ones that are seen by the humans in the story. Whatever the case, these angels were thrilled to be able to meet and be part of the process of meeting the physical needs of one called Elijah. And sometimes they even help us. But God can deliver the help, however. We need to pass that on. We need to pass that on through rest and food and whatever we can do for other people. God met Paul's emotional needs in that fearful situation. God showed up and reassured him through the message of this angel that had to be there on that boat with him, had to rock a bit on the seas in the boat while he talked to Paul. And he reminds him that God is in control. God is not finished. God has a future for you. We can offer encouragement and companionship in people's emotional needs. Let's get busy in doing that. And we can meet people's spiritual needs by sharing the gospel and helping them grow together, because the angel for Cornelius was part of the team to bring him to Christ, his spiritual needs. God can meet your needs. Keep your eyes on him. Rest assured that he has all the resources he needs to help you, and then be looking for that opportunity. Maybe it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, but be ready to jump into the fray and say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you and to pass on the great stuff that you have delivered to me. We'll get together next time for our next session. We'll talk again about angels, these agents of good and agents of God. I look forward to being with you next time. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.